Father, we thank you as we're about to share your word. We ask that you will breathe upon it and your spirit will give understanding, revelation, and insight to everyone here today. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's start with our opening scripture, which is Matthew chapter 8, verse 24. Peace in the storm. This is a very, very interesting story. I guess Matthew chapter 8, verse 20. Oh, I went to 24, verse 8. Can you believe that? Okay. Okay. I would like to start from verse 23. It says, and then he got into the boat, that he is Jesus, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. This verse reminds me about the story of, remember when Peter walked on water? Yeah, kind of like the same story. Now our topic says peace in the storm. The word peace means calmness or tranquility. That's English dictionary definition. But in Hebrew, it means being in a right relationship with God and everything around you. In this same story, when the waves got really, really, really boisterous and the disciples called Jesus, "Carest thou not that we perish?" If you have time, just read further. And Jesus told the storm, "Peace be still." He still used the same word, peace. And that peace there, it doesn't mean calmness. It simply means he was ordering. So peace could either mean, in this context, it could mean either to order something to be calm. We are going to approach this particular topic. We're going to look at it. What kind of storms do we face in life? Storms could either be spiritual, storms could be mental or psychological, or storms could be physical. A physical storm could be a storm in your marriage. It could be a storm in your finances. It could be a storm in your body. Anything causing disruption could be seen as a storm. Now, as a young Christian, I felt whenever Jesus comes into your life, everything becomes calm, everything becomes quiet, everything becomes good and rosy, you don't have problems anymore. But it's funny, it was Jesus that told them to go into the boat, right? And the fact that Jesus was in the boat did not stop the storm from coming in. You see, as Christians, we have to actually change some of our ideologies. I remember then, if you see any Christian going through storms, or could we change the word storm to challenges? Is that okay? They mean practically the same thing. If you see any Christian going through challenges, the first thing we used to ask them is, "Have you sinned? Have you done anything wrong?" Because we always feel maybe for those challenges to happen to that person must have done something wrong. Or people used to use the word, maybe you've broken the hedge. But it's not true. Let's look at, because of time, I promised my wife that I'll keep the time today. Yes, I did. if we look at the chapter before this one, which was chapter 7 of Matthew, Matthew 7, 24 to 27, we heard Jesus talk about a parable about the guy that built his house on the rock and the one that built his house on the sand. For some reason, I don't know why, when I read that scripture, I always saw it that the guy that built his house on the rock did not have any opposition. That's how I always read it. Maybe oversight, or maybe because of what I taught, or maybe because of, maybe, like I said earlier, you just feel once you become a Christian, everything works all smoothly. But if you actually read that scripture, you find out that the guy that built his house on the rock also had the same storms, the same wind, everything. The only difference between the guy that built his house on the sand and the one that built his house on the rock was that the one that built his house on the rock, his house did not sink. So will Christians have storms? Will Christians have challenges? Yes, that you're a Christian does not exempt you from life. Christianity is not an exemption. Because most of us feel I'll keep saying it, we have this feeling that once you come to Jesus, everything will be okay. Life would no longer happen anymore. It's not true. Life will still happen. But like the guy that built his house on the rock, life would not swallow you up. That is the difference. And if we remember in the story in Matthew 8, that Jesus went into the boat did not change the storms from coming in. Some preachers over time said there were spirits, there were demons that... No, it wasn't demons that were... No. If you take a sailing boat outside, there's chances that sometimes there will be storms. Not spirits, not the devil. There will be storms. Storms can come. And it proved that whether Jesus was there or not, those storms actually did come. But we observed what Jesus did was remarkable. Unlike every other person that was worried, Jesus wasn't worried. He was what? He was sleeping. He was calm. So the storm did not, maybe somebody might say Jesus is not a fisherman, or he's not an expert. Because if he was an expert, he might have known that storms could actually sink the boat and then he could drown. No. Jesus was what? Calm. Even in the storm. And when the disciples got worried, when they poked him, they screamed. It might not be in Matthew. I'm trying to keep the time. They said, Master, carest us now that we perish. They were like, are you not concerned that we are going to die? They woke him up. And when they woke him up, he said, what's the problem? They said, can't you see what's going on? And Jesus just said, peace. He told the storm to hold his peace, or he told it to be calm. And immediately, everything became what? Everything became calm. Now, how do we tell things around us to be calm when we have our own storm? Because we are all going to experience our storms. A typical storm was when Zoe, my daughter, was about to be born. I think that was after she was like less than a week or two due. My wife went for the scan, and when they scanned, they said there was no brain. The advice was for her to abort. They should abort the baby. And it was the best neuro doctor with a lot of qualification, a very big expert in Kings. But the sweet thing that happened that day was before the scan, my prayer partner in Nigeria called. And he called and he told me, because he calls me by my surname. They call me Madu. Madu is my son. He said, Madu, you are going to have a daughter. That he is very prophetic, that God showed me you're going to have a daughter. And we laughed over it. I said, oh, you've come again. He said, no, God just told me to tell you you're going to have a lovely daughter, blah, blah, blah. And he also spoke to my missus. And when the scan now came, I now told my wife not to worry. For God to have told my friend, who doesn't know your due date, that we're going to have a daughter, that we're going to have the daughter. So against all judgment of the lovely doctor, I have no grudge against him or anything. We had Zoe. And when Zoe came out, they measured her head, everything. For 6 months, we kept taking her to the point that the last doctor we saw told me, go and buy a shotgun. I said, why? He said, you have a very beautiful daughter. Don't bring her to hospital. Just get a shotgun so that when boys come asking, you can push, push, push. And we laughed over it. And Zoe comes now. She sings. So when our storms come, we should take the same stance Jesus took. Jesus said, by worrying, you won't change anything anyway. By worrying, you can't make your... I'm not very tall. I wish I was about 6'2 or something, but by worrying, I can't get taller. We have to use the same tool Jesus used when these storms come, be it spiritual, be it psychological, be it physical. We have to speak to our storm. We have to speak what we want to our storms. And I will suggest you just don't speak anything. You speak what is in alignment with God's word. Okay? So how do we make sure that we speak the right thing? We start with things like meditation. We learn how to meditate God's word. The book of Joshua 1, I believe it's 8 or verse 9, says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but there you will meditate therein day and night. Because when the storm comes, it is what you have inside you that would come out. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you don't have to wait for the storm to come. Okay? So you have to have the word of God already inside you before the storms come. And like I said, the storm will come. It's not if the storm will come, it's when the storms will come. As a matter of fact, I'm sure if we sit down and discuss individually, we all have different storms that we are facing. For those of us that have kids, your storm might be your children. For some of us, it's our marriage. For some of us, it's our finances. For some of us, it might even be our mortgage. For some of us, it might even be the economy. There are storms. Okay? But we have to have God's word so that when these storms come, we won't scream storm. No, we will scream what God's word says. Are we denying there's a storm? No, Jesus didn't deny there was a storm. If Jesus denied there was a storm, he would have just gone back and said there is no storm. But Jesus actually agreed that there was a storm. Because if he did not agree, then why did he challenge the storm? So faith does not mean denial. Because sometimes we think faith means denial. Or we think maybe by doing like the ostrich and putting our heads down in the sand, the storm will go away. No. Okay. I promised my wife that I would stick to time, so. So I said one of the ways for us is meditation. Another way is confession. What is confession? Confession is what you say. Sometimes we confess negatively without even knowing it. As a matter of fact, I think the English language is very negative. I'm afraid. What are you afraid for? I'm not saying it in an attacking way, but I mean, when most of the phrases and most words we use, whether we know it, what we confess are not quite positive. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So we have to change our confession. Because Jesus is actually the high priest of your confession. As a matter of fact, if we knew that anything we confess, God is waiting to perform it, it will make us more conscious of what we confess. Confession is not when you get ready to start praying. I think Christians believe it's only when we pray that God listens to us. God listens to us always. So God doesn't listen to you only. God doesn't wait 24 hours of the day when you get to pray at 6 a.m. in the morning. No, God listens to everything you say. If you have a storm of, say the storm you have is your child, and your child is not behaving the way you want, I'm not saying you should deny the child's behavior. No. I'm saying, okay, you do not like the behavior. Confess the behavior you want to see. Pronounce, tell the child that God has made you for signs and wonder. You have the oil of gladness on you. You will excel above your contemporaries. I believe what God has said about you. You understand what I'm saying? That is what you say. You are not saying that, oh, this child is... No. We can see the problem, but we are not confessing the problem. What did God do in Genesis 1? When God saw that the whole world was upside down. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. When everything was in chaos, did God call a council meeting to start complaining about the problem? No, he didn't call a council meeting. Oh, gather everybody. Oh, the earth is bad. No, God didn't do that. God just came out, saw what he saw wasn't what he wanted. He said, let there be light. He set the tone. Okay? So, in our storms, as we experience these storms, the ways we'll have peace in our storm is by making sure we meditate on God's word. Okay? Trust me, if you read God's word about what God says about you, it will shock you. If you read the Bible, literally, just read it and hear what God says about you. It's amazing. God meets... 2 more minutes. I'll give you an example. I don't know if any of you have read about Gideon. Have any of us read about Gideon? So Gideon was this little youngest in his family. At that time, they had this... funny people always attacking them, and everybody was scared. And the angel shows up. Gideon was, if you want to say a very big scaredy cat, Gideon was super scared. I don't blame him because of what was happening around them. And do you know how the angel addresses Gideon? Thou mighty man of war. And Gideon was like, me? I've never been to any war, have no experience. No. And that's how God addressed him. He looked anything but, I think the right address would have been, thou coward, but no. And if you check through our scripture, God always starts with what he wants. So we're going to pray now. We're going to pray, and as we pray, we're going to make commitment to read more of God's word so we can meditate on it. And we're also going to pray that we will confess our right. Okay? It's so... the world is getting darker, bleak, and you are tempted to say what you see. We are not denying the storm, but we are just confessing God's word. We are confessing what we want. Because your confession will set your tempo. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you this evening for your word. We thank you that we understand that there will be times and there will be seasons. That as long as the earth remains, time and season is constant. There will be seasons that everywhere we feel as if we are in a storm. Father, we thank you knowing that Jesus is there with us. He doesn't leave us. Jesus said that, lo, I will be with you always. That means whether there is storm, whether there is sunshine, Jesus is always there. Father, we pray for this consciousness for us to know that we are not alone. And Lord, we pray that we will have a desire, like Bible says, like newborn babes, we will desire the sincere milk of your word. Father, we pray that your word will become like honey to us. And Father, we will meditate upon your word. Your word will become real. And Father, we will confess your word. We will always be in agreement with you. So that at the end of the day, we will see the same result that the disciples saw, which was you saying, peace be still. That all these storms will calm in the matchless name of your son, Jesus. Amen.